morning, I want to encourage you through this song before we hear the great word. Amen.
Amen.
Turn it up a little bit more. Thank you. If your Bible is on your phone, raise your phone up in the air. If you got your Bible, I ask that you stand and raise it in the air. Amen. Amen. We give God all the glory and all the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want you to recite these words with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the written word of God.
It is the written word of God.
Written so that I will.
Written so that I will.
Read it.
Read it.
Hear it.
Hear it.
Study it.
Study it.
Memorize it.
Memorize it.
Meditate on it.
Meditate on it.
I will apply it.
I will apply it.
The word.
The word.
To my life daily.
To my life daily.
I will live.
I will live.
My life on purpose.
My life.
For all the days of my life.
For all the days of my life.
In preparation.
In preparation.
For eternal life with God. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Actually, remain standing. Remain standing. Thank you. All right. Today's scripture is coming from Mark 5, 25 through 34. And it reads, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of the physicians and had spent all that she had and had and was not helped at all, but instead had become worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she had been saying to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will then be healed. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And immediately Jesus perceived in himself that power from him had gone out, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth, the whole truth. And he had said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be cured of your disease. This is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be unto God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just give God some praise as our apostle comes this morning with the word. Amen. Amen.
Come on, y'all can do better than that. Let's give God some praise in this house because God is worthy of all of the praise, worthy of all of the glory, worthy of all of the honor. Come on, I just need somebody who knows what I'm talking about. Because I can tell you by faith that God does answer prayer. Let me say that one more time. God does answer prayer. I'm a living witness. Somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. That God does answer prayer. Amen. Come on, keep on praying because God's not finished yet. Amen. I just thank God my daughter's in the back with her family, and I'm just grateful for her presence here today. Amen. God is still moving. Oh, I'm going to say it again. God ain't finished.
Not yet.
Tell somebody, not yet.
Not yet.
Let us pray, and we're going to get right into the word of God. Eternal God in heaven, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, God, for you giving us this time, this space, that we can lift up our hands, open up our mouths, and give you praise, God. Yes. God, I thank you because this is a day that has not been promised to us, but because of your infinite mercy and your grace and your love and your kindness, you saw fit to give us this day, God, and we're not going to take it for granted, God, but we are going to do what you call us to do for such a time as this, God. Now, we have worshiped, we in praise and song and in our giving, and we have received at the table of common union, but right now, our God, we need a word from you.
Yes,
a word that's going to strengthen us, a word that's going to quicken us, a word that's going to help us and take us to the next level of what you desire for each one of us to go. And God, we know that you desire for us to go to a wealthy place in you, a wealthy place in mind, a wealthy place in spirit. And we just give you the glory because, God, we're going there.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, we're going. We're determined to go where you have desired for us to go.
Yes.
So speak to us this morning through your word, and we'll be careful to give you even more praise. This is the prayer of your people, oh God. Amen and amen. You can be seated in this place. The scripture has already been read for your hearing today, and I want you to receive it into your hearts and your minds. But I want you to concentrate, if you may, on the, the 34th verse, if you will. It says, when she heard Jesus came in, she pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That's the King James. The NASB says, I will be made well. But drawing off the King James Version, I want to give you a topic. I shall be whole. Somebody needs to grab hold of that, even in the topic this morning, even in the title of this message, that I shall be whole.
Yes.
There's no such thing as a bad circumstance, if you will. For all those things that we perceive as bad actually are growing experiences for our lives. You have to see that everything that happens to you has come into your life for one reason or another. And when we are challenged in life, it's because what life is, that is what really life is all about. Life is about challenges, it's about twists, it's about turns, it's about ups, and yes, it is about downs. Life is about how we deal with those challenges. Do we look up to the Lord, or do we for victory, or do we look down in defeat? See, life is about choices.
Yes.
Each of us have choices, if you will, a choice to decide which route we're going to take in life when things become difficult. We can choose to take the pity party route, or we can choose to take the victory route and say that I know a better day, like the song said, is what? Coming. See, when your back is against the wall, and it appears that you are in a desperate situation. I know I'm not the only one who's been in situations where I felt like my back was against the wall. When you feel like your back is against the wall and you can't go anywhere, you can't turn anywhere, you don't know where your help is going to come from, you heard that saying that sometimes desperate situations call for desperate measures. These are moments in our lives that we experience, and when we have to then take action that moves us out of our comfort zone. We have to get desperate enough that we're not going to stay in that comfort zone. Stay in pity. You know, pity can be a comfort zone. Self-defeat can be a comfort zone. Come on. Crying can be a comfort zone. Sometimes people just want to crawl up in the bed and pull the covers over their head and just act like the rest of the world does not exist. Why? Because if they come out from off of the covers, if they come from out of their room, they're going to have to deal with the situation. They're going to have to come out of that comfort zone. Here in this particular text, the story of the woman whose faith was born in a situation of desperation. A woman who bled for 12 long years. And to get to the point, this woman had a menstrual cycle, a flow of blood for 12 long years. Now, there's many women in here. Most of us can't go 2 days, 3 days, and we're like, hey, I'm tapping out. Amen. Amen. There's a truth in it happening. Can you imagine what it would be like to have such a hemorrhage for 12 long years? Have you ever known somebody who was sick, so sick to the point that they were almost dead, to the point of death, but then a miracle happened? The one who was thought to be near death is not only alive, but now is thriving. I've seen that many times when I work in hospice. The doctors have given them one report, given them 6 months or less to live. But 2 years, 3 years, 4 years later, they're not only living, but they're thriving.
Yes.
See, this woman was not only near death, but she was considered by everyone around her to be unclean or to be untouchable. Because according to Levitical law, anytime someone was bleeding, they were considered untouchable. Can you imagine not only having to deal with this situation for 12 years, but for the 12 years she was also untouchable and considered unclean, which meant she lived a life of isolation. For 12 long years, this woman had an issue. She had a physical issue. By the fact, that physical issue caused her to have a financial issue. But people can have physical issues, financial issues. They can have family issues, friend issues. They can have all kinds of issues. Sometimes people even have what? Faith issues. But I can tell you this morning that everybody has an issue.
Amen.
Oh, let me say it again. I got issues. You got issues. All God's children got issues. Oh, let me say it again, because somebody might say, I ain't got no problem. Yeah, just keep on living. If you're not in a problem today, you just left the problem yesterday, or you're on the way to a problem tomorrow, because that is part of life. Ain't no sense of moaning, trying to get a pity party going and going to everybody, trying to tell them all your problems, because they got problems of their own. They ain't trying to hear yours. They trying to get rid of their own.
Amen.
Nobody's life is perfect. From the front door to the back door, from the preacher, amen, to the person sitting at the back door, the usher, amen. Nobody's life is perfect. For this woman, the doctors said one thing, but the great physician said something completely different. The great physician said, you shall live and not die. See, God does not want us to look at our current circumstances, our current problems, our current issues, and think or believe that that's a period in your life. That only serves as a comma, because that's not all of the story. There's still more of the story being written as you continue to live. God has a way of changing your circumstance. God has a way of taking circumstances and changing them into life lessons. God has a way of taking problems and making them your victories. God has a way of taking your issues and making them your testimony. God has a way of taking your sickness and turning it into a miracle. This was the case of a woman who was often referred to as the woman with the issue of blood. She received a miracle. Matter of fact, this miracle took place the same time as the raising of the daughter of Jairus. All three of the synoptic gospels, synoptic means simple, similar. The synoptic gospels have similar information. Those gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And each of those three gospels gives us these two miracles together. The daughter of Jairus was 12 years old, and that was exactly how long this woman had suffered with her issue. The daughter was at the point of death, and the woman was not far behind over a 12-year period of dealing with her sickness. It appears that these two miracles draw upon each other. Whereas the woman had taken courage in the fact that Jesus was going to Jairus' house, but as for Jairus, he could have taken encouragement from the fact that Jesus stopped on his way to give someone else a complete healing. It appears that these two miracle stories appear to draw off of one another. We don't know if Jairus and the woman ever reflected on these particular miracles together or later on in their lives. But what we do know is that Jairus would often bring people together, that Jesus would often bring people together to work in their lives so that they can take encouragement from one another based on the work that Jesus did in the life of the other. As it is with us, that's why we should never forsake the assembly of the saints, because we can take encouragement from what God is doing in the life of others. You just got to hang on in there, baby, because this thing will pass. I've been through this situation. I can tell you, come on, somebody can testify to you and tell you that this is not the end. This is just a comma in your life. Just keep on pushing. Keep on believing. That's why we have to be around some saints and not the ain'ts, because the ain'ts will have you in your grave dead. Come on. Come on, you got to be around the saints that's going to tell you you're going to live and not die. Come on, you have to be around the saints that tell you, come on, God heal me, and God is going to respect your person. God can heal you. Don't be around them people that say, baby, go on and get your stuff in order. Go on and get your insurance policy. Make sure that it's paid up. Go on and take care of your funeral. Come on, come on. I need to give a funeral on the funeral. Amen. According to Leviticus chapter 15, 25 and 27, this woman would have been shunned as well as barred from the temple. If anyone touched her, they would have been considered unclean. How she must have wept to read the scripture's verdict that she shall be unclean. From every angle, the sickness was what our passage calls a plague, if you will. She had tried everything to cure this disease, this illness, but then there was not a physician near or far that she had not consulted. She must have originally had some money based on the scriptures, but by now she has spent every dime that she has in hope that one of those physicians would be able to cure her. She had suffered many things, is what the scripture says, of many physicians, verse 26. The people who were to relieve the suffering actually intensified the subject. Ever go to the doctor and you think you're going to get well, but you find out that you get worse instead? So along with her issue of blood, now her resources have also been drained. She was no better, but rather got worse. But I want you to hear this, my sisters and brothers. The first thing the scriptures lets us know, that after we understand her circumstance, she heard. Tell somebody, you got to hear. You've got to hear. If you want to get relief from your current situation, you need to hear from Jesus. But see, the word heard, the Bible says she heard, is packed. The word heard is the past tense of hear, which comes from the root word acoustic, meaning that it is to perceive the sound. So she perceived the sound of Jesus was coming into town. See, news of this greater physician reached this woman. She perceived that the healer was coming. Perhaps the report that Christ had touched the unclean leper and healed that leper. See, she heard, awakened her hope, awakened her, and now what was a despairing heart is now awakened to a heart of hope. With her desperation driving her on one hand, and the report of Jesus' ability drawing her on the other, she went to Christ. Yes. She went. So the first thing we have to understand, we need to hear the good news that Christ is coming. Amen. We need to hear. Yes. And the second thing that our scripture tells us is that she pressed. See, what we understand is when we look at the scripture that this woman made her way through the crowd. In other words, she didn't let any obstacle stop her from getting to Jesus. She undoubtedly did this in what we will call a self move. In other words, there was a crowd of folk all surrounded by Jesus, but she was going to make her way one way or another. So she stealthily eased her way between the crowds. Come on. You know how sometimes you got to make your way through a group of folk because they're not going to let you in, but you determined you're going to get through. Maybe that's just me, but I'm going to tell you, while we was in Washington, D.C., and then people were going to that baseball game to see the Washington Nationals, them people were packed on that train. I looked up, people were moving like snap moves, trying to get on that train, come on. And everybody moved all together, getting off the train, going into the stadium, amen. And there were some folks that made their way through the crowd because they was trying to get to the ticket booth to get the good seat before everybody else who was coming in off the train was getting the seats because those tickets were going quickly. Sometimes you got to move through the crowd, come on, like you just doing some slick moves, amen, because you're determined to get to Jesus. You're determined you're not going to let absolutely nothing stop you from getting what you're supposed to have. Come on, people will try to get him. Oh, there's too many people up there. Don't you go up there because you're not going to be able to touch the hem of his arm. There are people who are going to be naysayers that tell you that I don't care, but even if you get to the city, you're not going to be able to get to Jesus because there's going to be too many folk trying to get to him. You might as well just go on back home and just get comfortable in your current situation because it's not going to get any better. But when you're determined that you have already heard that Jesus is coming in town and you're determined that you're going to press your way through. See, when you press, come on, anybody know about pressing? Come on, anybody know about pressing? See, I have to understand that at my 62 years, there's some times that I got to press my way through. There's some times when I wake up in the morning that I don't feel like getting up out of the bed. There's some times when I get out of the house, amen, and I come down to the church. I don't feel like being the pastoral that day. I don't feel like being spiritual that day. But God says you got to press your way through till you get to. Come on, tell somebody, I'm going to press my way through till I get to. Oh, I don't think you heard it this morning. A gentleman who's starting a new ministry, and we were talking about starting ministries, and I was giving it, but he said, before we talk about you helping me get this ministry started, he said, I just got to say this one thing. He said, every time I see you, you look younger and younger and younger. I said, hey, I'm pressing. Hey, I'm pressing, amen. I'm pressing. But not only did she hear, not only did she press her way, but let me back up. I'm going to finish. I don't want to get off my notes because I get excited to get off my notes, but there's a point I want to make in this pressing. Because in this pressing, it talks about that not only because of Levitical law, she was unclean, so she wasn't even supposed to go to the temple, let alone touch Jesus. She can't touch, and she knows, can she be touched? I need you to get you to understand. But she pressed her way through the crowds, inch by inch. She obviously spotted Jesus' garment, and at that time the garments were all one piece, and they had tassels on all four quarters with a blue thread that went around the garment. So you need to understand this. And the people had to mark the fringes of their garments, and the law stipulated that they had to tie a thread of blue through the hem in order to remind them of the commandments of the Lord. And by the time of Christ, this was done by attaching four tassels, come on, of the four quarters of the outer garments and weaving this blue or white thread into this. So you understand, she didn't just press her way through, but we don't know if this woman recognized the semblance or the significance of the tassels that was on Jesus' garment. I doubt that she could focus on the spotless purity of the obedient Son of God. Her regard for Christ, however, was such that she recognized that just the hem, that's what she says. She didn't say, let me touch his garment. She didn't say, let me touch his shoulder. She didn't say, I need Jesus to lay hands on me. She didn't say, I need the Christ to go get some anointing oil so that it can be used as a conduit. Come on, for my deliverance. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I could be made whole. So when she moved beyond hearing and moved behind pressing, she touched. Tell somebody she touched.
She touched.
See, the word touch from the original text refers to that she had a determined hold, not just a passing brush. So in other words, she grabbed hold to his garment, the hem of his garment. See, the woman, even with her imperfect faith, managed to get Jesus' attention by grabbing hold to his garment. Not only did she say to herself, if only I could touch his garment, I would be made whole. But she also acted upon the word. So she heard, she pressed, she touched, and she acted upon what she heard after she pressed, which caused her to touch. She touched him so desperately, wanting to be healed by Jesus. She pressed past rejection, mistreatment, past prognosis or diagnosis of her condition. She pressed past what the Levitical law said that she could not be touched or touched. She pressed past what other folk might have said or thought. She pressed past what even her own thoughts thought that she might have not been able to do. But she pressed past every obstacle, every hindering spirit, everything that was contrary to the word of God and said that I must be made whole. She didn't allow her past circumstances to get in the way of her future. Tell somebody, you cannot allow your past circumstances to get away in the way of your present and your future.
Amen.
Come on, so too many people allow their past to get in the way of their future.
Amen.
How many of you know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? Come on, a plan to prosper you, a plan for you to be in good health. And we can't let the past circumstances, the past problems, the past issues get in the way of your present future.
Amen.
Tell somebody, I know what the doctor said, but that's not the future that God has planned for my life. Come on. I know what the situation looks like, but that's not the future that God has for my life. I'm not going to allow my current circumstance, come on, hinder my present or move me, or not allow me to move into my future. I'm going to a wealthy place. Amen. And I might all have to die and go to heaven to get there. I want some wealthy right here. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. I want some wealthy right now. Come on. My wealth is in my health. Amen. Not just in my bank account. Everybody needs a bank account. Amen. Come on. We want some wealth in our bank account. Amen. This stuff that somebody said you're supposed to be broken, disgusted because you're following after Jesus is a lie and straight from the pit of hell. Tell somebody. It's a lie and the truth ain't in it. Because God said, I came to prosper you and give you a purpose and a future. See, to prosper you mean you ain't broke. Hallelujah. Come on. God said, you got to come out of that broke mentality. Come on. Come on. To prosper you means everything. Hallelujah. We're going to start some declaring some stuff. Amen. She focused on one single act. It seemed simple, but just to touch the hem of Jesus' garment was all that she had to do to grab hold of it for Jesus to notice her. You've been looking for Jesus to notice you. I invite you this morning to grab hold to the hem of his garment. Because dire situations, desperate situations, require desperate measures. Sometimes you got to get desperate enough that I'm going to reach out and grab hold of Jesus. No matter what it takes, I'm going to grab hold of Jesus. I don't care if anybody thinks I'm crazy, I'm grabbing hold of Jesus. Because that's the only hope that we have. The only hope we have is in Jesus the Christ. See, according to the Holman Dictionary, hope is the anticipation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. The confidence that what God has done for us in the past guarantees our participation in what God is going to do or will do in the future. I'm going to ask you a question. What are you hoping for today? Come on. What are you hoping for today? Anybody hoping for something today?
Yes.
Come on. Are you looking for something?
Yes.
Desperate situations require desperate actions. Come on. Yes. I'm getting ready to close it here in a moment, but God wants to bless you. So I invite you this morning, right where you're at, whether you're in person or online, to reach out and touch, grab hold to Jesus. Because the Bible says that when she reached out and touched, when she grabbed hold, the scriptures say that straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up. Whatever thing the enemy has put in your life that's tried to mess you up, drag you down, trying to keep you from prosper, trying to keep you from being healthy, trying to keep you from being whole, trying to keep your family jacked up from the flow of everything that the enemy has meant for your bad, I tell you that God is going to turn it around for your good. All you got to do is reach out and grab hold to Jesus' garment. Somebody needs to reach out and touch Jesus this morning. Because the Bible says when she touched, she was made whole. Tell somebody she was made whole. Anybody want to be whole this morning? See, the power of her touch allowed Jesus, the power of Jesus reach where nothing else had been affected.
Yes.
Nothing else had been affected. Let me say that again. When she reached out and took action on her imperfect faith, walk in hope, it made her whole and allowed the power of Jesus to take effect where nothing else had been able to cause an effect. At that very moment, the problem was cured at the source. A band-aid wasn't put on. She didn't take a prescription, come on, and mask it, amen. She didn't try to manage the problem anymore. She didn't have to pacify it, amen, and go around and tell everybody, you know, I'm still dealing with that issue. You know, it's been 12 long years. I'm still dealing with that same old issue I was dealing with last year. She didn't go around and tell somebody, I need to get another doctor's report. Come on, because this last doctor's report didn't work. She didn't go and say, well, if I go to another physician, maybe he'll verify what this physician had done. No, they said she was immediately cured. Let me say that again. She was immediately cured. She was immediately cured. She was immediately cured. So you don't have to have perfect faith to reach Jesus. Let me say that again. You don't have to have perfect faith to reach Jesus. You just have to have faith. It says if you have the faith of a what? Mustard seed. Come on, you can move a mountain. Amen. That's imperfect faith. Are you willing to go the extra mile this morning?
Yes, amen.
Knowing that the extra mile is not going to be easy, it's going to cause you to have to press.
Amen.
What route do you want to take when life for you seems to become desperate. Do you want to take the easy route? Or do you want to take the route that's going to cause you to have to press your way through? The woman with the issue of blood can teach us a lot this morning. Teach us a lot about faith and about hardships in life. I'm closing now. We can get some soft music going as I close. I want you to ask yourself this question. Perhaps there's something in your life that you've been struggling with for a very long time. Is it your health? Whether physical or mental? Because see, physical challenges are not far-fetched because guess what? This body gets old and decays. I can tell you for a fact, I might play young, but stuff don't work like it used to.
No, sure not.
Amen. Our body works round the clock, 7 days a week, 24/7, even while you're sleeping. And as a result of that, stuff happens.
Yes, it is.
Tell somebody stuff happens.
Stuff happens.
Oh, yeah, it is. If it's not your physical health, maybe it's your mental health. Maybe you've been dealing with oppression, depression, or even suppression. You've been suppressing your feelings, your thoughts, your deepest fears, your hurts. You've been suppressing. Maybe there's a financial crisis that's going on in your life even right now. Gas prices are up. It used to cost me $40 to fill my little tank. Yesterday it cost me $73. I wanted to hit the gas tank. I'm going to tell you the truth. I just wanted to just punch it. Food prices are up. Everything's up. Yeah. But difficulties are normal. They're part of life. We live a life that's uncertain. Because we live in an uncertain world.
Yes.
And financial difficulties differ in different times in our lives. Perhaps there's a challenge in a relationship, a marriage, or a challenge in your family. There may not be anything as sweet as love, family life. But guess what? It can also be a source of pain and disappointment. Because we're dealing with imperfect humans in relationships. And if by chance you find the perfect person for you, I remember getting married and it was so funny. Right after we'd been married a couple of months, he started looking at me a little closer. He said, you got feelings in your mouth? I'm like, yeah, they've been there for 30 years. I never noticed you had feelings in your mouth. Started noticing the saline coming on my thighs. Where'd that come from? It's been there. See, when we're in love, we don't see the imperfections, amen? Then you start getting up close, you start seeing, oh, Lord, hallelujah. Come on. It was there all the time. You was just blind and in love. Come on. Perhaps there's a challenge in the work. The workplace is supposed to be a place where you can render your services. But sometimes it becomes a place where you do the best you can, only to find out that whatever you do is never good enough. Perhaps you're dealing with past mistakes, because all of us have a past. Mom, I used to have a preacher always want to tell me about my past. I said, wait a minute, let me tell you. I can tell my past better than you can. Because you're missing out some important parts. Come on.
That's it.
Come on, because I can tell you the real deal. You only know the surface, but I can tell you the real deal. Come on. But see, people always want to try to bind you discredit you with your past. But you say discount you because of your past. All of us done some crazy stuff, especially when you're young. What? When Solomon said I was young, but now I'm old, you look back and say, Lord, did I do that? Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. But preferably learn from that crazy stuff. But sometimes the past has a way of coming back to haunt us. But Jesus said, to put our past in the sea of forgetfulness.
Yes.
Never to remember it no more. Now the world wanted to try to bring it up, but Jesus said, once we're forgiven, it's put away.
It
can't haunt you anymore. And what you have to do is allow the past to be in the past. Whatever you dealing, whatever your challenge, whatever your struggle, whatever your issue is, I invite you to stand to your feet right now. And all over this building, you're asking God for healing. I invite you to reach up and touch Jesus this morning. If that's you, just reach up. You got a struggle that you've been dealing with, just reach up and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. You've been dealing with oppression and depression. Come on, I want you to know that God is a way to lift every problem, every spirit of darkness that's tried to bind you, to keep you.
Yes.
Jesus has a way of making a way for you out of no way. You've been struggling your finances. I'm telling you this morning that God has a way of opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing for you that you will not have room enough to receive it. Just reach out and touch. Just touch in faith. Believe in God like a woman who pressed her way through. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. Just reach out and touch whatever your issue is, whatever your problem, whatever your struggle is. Touch the Master's hand this morning.
Yes, Lord.
And be made whole. Oh, Holy Spirit, right now. We lean not to our own understanding, because our own understanding will mess us up. But God, we acknowledge you right now. We acknowledge the power that rests, rule, and abide in your Son, Jesus the Christ. And God, we come in faith, reaching out to touch the hem of his garment. And let every situation, every issue, every problem, every challenge be dealt with this morning. Struggling with the issue of drugs, God, I thank you right now, because your word says who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we declare freedom right now. Struggling with depression, God, I thank you right now that you are the one who lifts up our heads. Oh, God, we thank you.
Thank you.
Struggling with financial problems, God, we thank you right now. And we declare in your word that we shall be blessed going and coming. Blessed in the city and blessed in the field, we declare, we decree it to be so, God. Families that are struggling, that are being torn apart, marriages that are struggling, that are being broken, God, we thank you, for you are the mender and the lifter of our hands. Let that husband go back home and say, forgive me. Not, I want to be better, I am better. Because he's going to walk in the better. Let that wife go back home and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that she will be the wife that you are calling. God, I thank you right now that sons and daughters will come forth, being whom you have called them to be, mothers being whom they will call to be, fathers being whom they call to be. God, we thank you right now because you said in your word that we could declare a thing and it shall be established. So we come together right now with imperfect faith, trusting and leaning upon you. Oh God, we thank you right now.
Thank you.
We thank you right now. Thank you right now. Thank you right now, God, for you are the one who lifts our heads. You are the one who makes a way out of no way, God. You are the one who healeth thee, God. We are healed by Jesus' stripes, God. We declare it. Because we know Jesus is not going on the cross again. He's already taken sickness and disease, our imperfections on the cross for us. And we don't have to bear them. We cannot bear them on our own. So we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the adoration. Come on, somebody give God some praise this morning. Give him some praise because you already got what you need. Hallelujah. You already got what God has declared for your life. Hallelujah. Come on, thank you, Lord. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You didn't have to do it, but you did it for me. Come on. You didn't have to do it, but you saw fit to do it for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's continue to praise him.